I recall a pretty powerful life-shaping memory at the conclusion of that week with the Navajos there in Raymond, New Mexico. We were kind of having a farewell service, and I was holding onto the hand of a Navajo lady, elderly lady, weathered hand, and Lauren was holding her other hand, and we were all holding hands and singing the old hymn, God be with you till we meet again. And that little triangle that I described earlier of 1 mile between my home church and the campus of Pasadena College exploded in my heart. And I think at that moment, I became a global Christian.
Mm.
And I realized there was a whole world out there of people, even people that lived in a little different kind of an environment, culture, spoke a different language. But the deep sense of affection that developed between these high school kids and some college students and these Navajos was very profound and powerful. And I think that really is what not only opened me up to cross-cultural experiences, but sort of sowed the seed of doing whatever I could to make that opportunity available to other young people, young adults, college students. And so there's the story.
Yeah, that's great.
Startup of youth and mission, if you please.
I didn't send you this question, but I'm just wondering, where haven't you been? Where haven't you traveled in the world that you'd like to go to?
Africa.
You've never been to Africa?
Yeah. Of the African continent, I've never been on. Last time I counted, I've been in 60 countries of the world, but I've never been on the African continent.
Wow. Do you want to go?
Yeah, sure.
The only continent I haven't been on is Antarctica. Do you want to go there with me?
I get enough cold weather here. I'm sure I need to do that.
this is a story I've come back to a few times, and I've retold it. I'm trying to stay true to this story of how Youth and Mission was named and how that came about on that plane. But before we get to that part, can you describe a little bit about coming to work at headquarters and Student Mission Corps moving underneath your responsibility leading up to when it was renamed Youth and Mission?
Right. Well, quickly, I think there are three streams that flowed earlier into what now is Youth and Mission. One was the ambassadors, which I think launched at the General Assembly in Portland in 1964. It was a joint partnership between NYPS and World Mission. And it was all guys, all men, recruited, interviewed, selected off of Nazarene College campuses, probably one or two representatives from each university. And then they formed a team and kind of traveled together almost more in a tour of Europe or some other world area, and they would sing and give their testimonies and hold services and preach.
Let me pause you for a second. Just 1 second. Is this the Nazarene evangelistic ambassadors that Franklin Cook
yes.
would have told me about?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that was the very first organized structure for involving university students, college students, in other world areas. And then I think the ambassadors kind of morphed into Student Mission Corps.
Right.
And in time, there was the Peace Corps that the U.S. government set up, and kind of that IBU was pretty well known in that season. And so the idea of the Student Mission Corps came out of, I think, the early days of the Ambassadors.
Right.
And then in 1970, Paul Skiles was the director of the youth department. And he asked me to come up to Kansas City to the youth department and to be the general program director. And one of my first assignments was also to audition and put together a music group that would conduct youth quakes in churches around the United States.
Youth quakes.
So,
what? Norm, sorry, Norm. What's a youth quake?
Well, it was about a 3 or 4 day event, and the music group would come in and work with a youth group in a local church, and then engage them actually in performing with them a musical, and they would go out and do outreach experiences in parks and malls and beaches and that kind of thing. So it
gotcha.
Was a kind of a super impact team, if you please.
Uh-huh.
And some of the language of that era. So
yeah.
Then Home Missions wanted to start having young people serve in the United States and in Canada. So about 1972, 73, we were doing some other things beyond the music thing and sending teams to home mission plants and construction sites, etc.
Do you remember where some of those home mission plants were at?
I don't.
Okay. It's worth
just,
a shot.
I don't have records for that.
Yeah.
But most, it was in United States, in the 48 states, maybe a couple of projects in Canada. I can't recall for sure.
Okay.
And then as a part of kind of the developing internationalization and some reorganization that was really developing within the structure of the headquarters, Global Ministry Center now, a decision was made while Mel McCullough was the executive director of the youth department by the Board of General Superintendents that in the future, all programs that involved college, university students, wherever in the world, would be administered by the youth department. Up until that time, the youth department was administering summer ministry projects in the USA, Canada area, but World Mission through Student Mission Corps was really orchestrating anything outside of the borders of the US
right.
and Canada. So that decision really shifted the landscape pretty profoundly when it came to how these kinds of programs were organized and the leadership center for them. Because of that decision and the need for someone who had some background and experience in doing this, Mel asked me to come back to Kansas City and help start whatever the new programs were going to be through the youth department. And they already had one project that they had committed to, which was the Athletes and Mission trip for the summer of 1978. The program was kind of already underway. They just needed me to pick up the logistics and the organization. Already, the youth department had been visiting the college campuses in the fall every year to audition, recruit, mobilize students to participate in the summer programs that they were facilitating. And I landed in Kansas City with my family right at the start of September. And the very first presentation on a college campus was within a couple of weeks in Olivet. And I hardly had our boxes unpacked and my bags unpacked until I was getting on an airplane with Ernie McNaught, who was doing the coordination of ministry to Nazarene students in secular universities, and was helping me to present these programs, yet unnamed and unknown. And so here we are on airplane flying to O'Hare to rent a car to go down to the campus and make a presentation to recruit students for something. I'm on the airplane saying to Ernie, we got to have a name for these things, and we got to have a name for the umbrella of this program. And I said, how about Youth and Mission? And he said, I think that might work. And I got a napkin with the Coke that I had, and I wrote out Youth and Mission on this napkin and a sort of an idea of a logo. And then also came up with the name International Student Ministries, because the World Mission Department had said, we'd like to have the very first youth department international program be in the Philippines. And it would really be great if it wouldn't just be North American students, but if we could involve more of an international, truly international team. And right. So that idea was seminal, I think, and really grabbed me. And we called it International Student Ministry. And we had a team of about 40 in the Philippines in 1978. There were three Koreans, two from Taiwan, two from New Zealand, two from Australia, and 12 from the Philippines, and about 21 from North America. And that whole group came together and then broke out into four teams to go to four different regions of the Philippines, and they spent the summer. Wow. And then the basketball team played the national team of Korea, Taiwan. They played the national team of the Philippines for 2 weeks, all over the island.
Right.
And then went down and played in Australia national team in New Zealand. So the two programs kind of wove together into a network of ministry there in that part of the world in 1978. And that was kind of the launch of Youth and Mission by that title, although there had been ambassadors, Student Mission Corps, summer ministries through the Department of Youth already, Lost and Found, Discovery, and these kinds of things were going on. But the name in 1978 then for the whole thing was Youth and Mission. And when we went to the college campuses, it was called the Festival of Youth and Mission. Huh. That was held annually on the college campuses. And of course there was a dynamic that developed, because when you would go back to do the festival, you had a handful of people who had participated the previous summer or summers before that. And so you had a great network already to kind of launch the festival on the campus every fall.
Right. Right.
The next year, The project for International Student Ministries was in Europe with Portugal and Italy. And there again, we had North American students, but we also had students from all over Europe, and especially Portugal and Italy involved in those projects.
Right. That's great. Norm, this is such awesome, awesome stuff. I mean, when we've talked before, I've caught some of this, but just having the privilege of being able to record it and go back to it. You know, there's people that I've talked to and they were part of Youth and Mission, but they back in the time period you're talking about, but they didn't know it. They were part of AIM, or they were part of the International Right. Student Mission, and they didn't realize it came under the same umbrella. So it's intriguing to me.
One with stories that would be very fruitful is then in 1991, when World Mission asked me to do this project to take Nazarene students to Russia and Eastern Europe. And that was a pretty significant summer. So it'll be fun talking about that.
Let's pick that one up the next time then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.